Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I love that I get to welcome back Dr. April Benson. She is a psychologist specializing in the treatment of compulsive buying disorders. April has been on the program before, but let me just, for our listeners, just give you a little background here. She's co-founder for the Center for the Study of Anorexia and Bulimia. She's nationally known psychologist specializing in the treatment of compulsive buying disorders, serves on the board of the Institute for Contemporary Psychotherapy. She's been in private practice in New York City for 35 years, and she offers individual treatment and group coaching both in person and on the phone via Skype. She also trains therapists who want to work with overshoppers. And she has written the book, To Buy or Not to Buy, Why We Overshop and How to Stop. And the website, shopaholicnomore.com. April, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, David.
Oh, can you tell I'm excited? I love having you on because we all need to hear your message, because risks continue to grow. The ease of buying just continues to be enhanced. And now we have this thing that sits in the palm of our hand that allows us to easily make purchases, credit card on file. We push one button, the one-click purchase. It shows up at our door the next day. And of course, in a matter of probably a few years, it will be delivered on our front door via a drone that afternoon.
Yes, I'm afraid you're right.
Talk about immediate gratification, right?
Yes.
And delayed consequences, because we don't get that credit card bill for maybe 30 days. And if we are deliberate enough about it, we can ignore that bill.
Yes. We are so removed from what's called the pain of paying.
Yeah. Used to be you had to pull out the wallet, count out the money, and you felt that money leave your hand, and you felt that pain, that very real pain that you're talking about.
And we're, you know, the farther away, the farther removed we are from cash, the easier it is to deny.
Well, that's why the casinos use poker chips, right?
Yes.
It removes it one step at least, and it's a little different to throw a $50 bill on the table versus a stack of, you know, five blue or red chips or whatever they are.
That's true.
So, give us hope.
Well, there is a lot of hope.
Good.
What I thought I would do is start by saying a little more of what you've already said about why the internet retail environment
Excellent.
Is so seductive.
Yeah, please do that for us. Thank you.
It offers the opportunity for us to buy unobserved.
Oh, privacy.
For some people, they don't like to go into a store. They don't want any interaction with a salesperson because they may feel guilty or ashamed about the behavior, or they feel the need to go to a store with someone else and that inhibits their buying. It also offers the opportunity for us to buy frequently, anytime we want, quickly, as you say, with just the click of a mouse, and at any time. And we are compulsive buyers find the internet very, very, very tempting.
Mm.
And it is a fertile environment for this kind of compulsion to grow.
Why is that? Just the ease of it?
Some of the reasons that I've just mentioned about the no social interaction.
Yeah.
The wide array of products.
Anything you want.
Anything you want. You could go looking for a baseball card and end up buying a baseball bat. So just the sheer number and variety. And, of course, online, the prices are often much more tempting than in the store.
Mm. Well, based on your recent purchase, we have the following recommendations for you, April.
Yes.
Because we know you like this. You might be interested in that.
Yes.
And you can add on for just a dollar.
Sure.
I have to confess, I do like Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
But you
and
have to be careful.
Well, yes. For someone who doesn't have this tendency, they do have some internal checks and balances. But for somebody who's prone to excess, there is a lot of danger. And I thought that I, by the way, Cyber Monday is now the most important online shopping day in the United States, and I'm told, although there are many different statistics, that 2013 was the first year that online sales exceeded in-store sales.
I'm not surprised, and I think that trend will definitely continue. Now, part of it is efficiency, part of it is lazy. You can decide which. They are first cousins after all. But I personally, you know, if I can get it online, it's just so much more efficient for me to do that. And I have this conversation with my wife every year when we, the day after Thanksgiving. I say, why don't we first start online and then we'll go to the stores? And for her, of course, it's the ritual and it's the excitement and all of that. And you're point on, because it is it just swelling? The numbers are just really growing quickly.
And what you're a good example of what I think is the case. That it used to be that we thought compulsive buying disorder, was a largely, heavily female problem. But now the most recent statistics we have are that it's nearly 50-50. And I am very convinced that a lot of the proliferation of compulsive buying among men these days is largely on the Internet.
No question. I would agree 1,000% with that, because, you know, and this is a very much a stereotype, but men don't really shop. They buy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that meets my requirements, I purchase.
Yes. There's a wonderful scene in a play called Defending the Caveman, and a woman goes out and gathers. She has her basket. And she gathers and she gathers and she gathers. A man sees the shirt, shoots the shirt, and brings it home.
Yeah, the first thing that meets my criteria, it's a little bit like I'm a Terminator computer robot, target acquired, missile lock, done. So your hypothesis is very well put, Dr. Benson, that I think there's a lot of growth in this area with men. And I also think it's heavily underreported. Because the perception of how a man perceives this and how he perceives himself in doing this, I think the numbers could easily be skewed actually more to it being a challenge for men than for women.
Well, it's possible. This is an under-recognized, underserved population because consumption fuels our economy. We were taught after 9/11 that it's patriotic to buy. We cannot let the terrorists frighten our nation. Mrs. Bush and I want Americans to go shopping.
Fair enough.
Nobody said go drinking or drugging.
Right.
It's still considered the smiled upon addiction, and it's a pardon the pun, hard sell.
Well, you're right. You're spot on, in fact, because it is a challenge for a lot of people. And the Internet is very fertile. So the big question, and maybe we can grab a quick break and we'll come back and answer this, Dr. Benson, and that is, how does somebody recognize that they have a problem
mm-hmm.
with their online over-shopping? So quick break. We'll be right back with Dr. April Benson. She's a psychologist specializing in the treatment of compulsive buying disorders. ShopaholicNoMore.com is the website, and of course the book, To Buy or Not to Buy, Why We Overshop and How to Stop. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
When it comes to finding an advisor you can trust, are you unsure of the questions to ask? David Holland has written a book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy today. Or if you'd like to meet one-on-one with David to discuss your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book when you meet. There's no cost or obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The big gun is Dr. April Benson on the line with me. She is a heavyweight in this area of helping people understand overshopping, shopping addiction, and what to do about it. And I guess the first step, Dr. Benson, is recognizing the problem to begin with, and we can focus in on this online overshopping concern and challenge and problem. And that's really, I guess, the start of a lot of these matters is recognizing. So help us understand that. What are some of the signs or ways to identify and recognize the problem?
There are, first of all, I'm going to say something about signs of shopping addiction in general,
yes,
and then we'll go to the specifics about online shopping
addiction.
So do you use shopping and spending as a quick fix for the blues? Is it your equal opportunity, all-purpose mood changer? Do you feel guilty or ashamed about the behavior? Have you tried to stop but been unable to? Those are some more general signs. The specific signs related to online compulsive buying might be you all always have a tab open in your web browser with a full shopping cart waiting for you to click purchase.
Wow, boy, that's a lightning bolt right there.
You have a routine daily that consists of cycling through online retailers to see what's new and what's on sale. You get more promotional emails than real emails. Your heart skips a beat when you get an email from a store announcing a sale. You secretly online shop at work. For some people, they're on a first-name basis with the post office worker. You may get packages in the mail that you forgot you even ordered. You worked from home or just missed work entirely to sign for the thing you ordered last week. Your recycling bin is overflowing, let's say, with large cardboard boxes. You have 17, 20 different mobile apps to help you spend more money. You get anxious when you think about shopping in actual stores. Every time something arrives that isn't what you expected, you feel disgusted. You've accidentally bought the same thing twice or three times.
Wow.
You're angry when what you bought is sold out, and you end up finally buying the item that's in the open tab because you believe you do, in fact, really need it.
Wow.
So those are some general signs, and I think some other questions you might ask are, do other people think it's a problem for you? Are you falling behind in paying your bills due to your shopping? Do you buy things and often don't use them? Is your home becoming cluttered? Do you hide your shopping from loved ones or lie about it?
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Wow.
So those are quite a number of signs.
Those are serious.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
Yes. It can be an extremely serious problem. And in some way, even more serious because it's so under-recognized. So that it's way late in the game when somebody realizes they need help.
As you were talking about it, Dr. Benson, it sounds like in terms of the you mentioned the shopping experience, especially online, being that quick fix for somebody being depressed or bummed out or disappointed about something, whatever it may be, as a mood lifter. Any correlation or any impact or maybe a component here, chemical addictions, alcohol, and...
Oh, I think there is a big crossover. What we find is that people with compulsive buying disorder have two particular characteristics, one of which is probably present in people with every other addiction, and one isn't. And the two characteristics are having materialistic value orientation, which is somebody who thinks that the acquisition of material goods is the ticket to success, a sign of having arrived. And the other is what we call a large self-discrepancy, and that is the gap between who we are, who we believe we are, and how we'd like to be or how we'd like to be seen. And many addicts have that kind of self-discrepancy gap. But people who have this materialistic value orientation and think that the acquisition of material goods is the ticket to happiness, those are the two that combine.
Well, the experience, there's a chemical reaction that is induced with shopping that I've read and heard that could affect some of the same parts of the brain as some of these other chemicals from alcohol or drugs or things like that.
That's very true. And the same idea about habituation. Because it's been said that online shopping, because you don't have the thing to come home with, you may have to do it more frequently to get the same buzz.
Wow. Okay. That's remarkable. I didn't expect you to say that. That's really interesting. It takes more because of the little bit of the disconnect from the gratification. It takes more to get the same feeling, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes. And what I can tell you is that the mood studies we have show that a compulsive buyer starts, their pre-purchase mood is lower than a normal buyer's mood. At the point of purchase, their mood shoots way up, way beyond the normal buyer. Post-purchase, however, their mood lowers exponentially, and the normal buyer's mood continues to rise. However, the compulsive buyer's mood ends up a little higher than it was at the beginning, so it's reinforced.
Well, that's why you're the doctor. That's why you're a psychologist specializing in this. This is remarkable. It's interesting, but it is a very big wake-up call, I think, for a lot of people to be aware of this. And the next thing, of course, is we see this, we understand it. You've identified very clearly, Dr. Benson, some of these warning signs, especially if these things are noticed by others or you're trying to do these things in secret, don't want, you know, all of those things. It not only a financial risk, it could affect relationships.
Yes.
It could affect people's ability to be productive, work. Irony of ironies is you can't go to work because you're involved in your shopping. It can be very disruptive, and then also ironic that, you know, having a mental impact on person with these addictions.
Yes. It can affect so many areas of your life, your personal development. If so much of your time and energy, to say nothing of money, is going toward the acquisition of stuff that you don't need and won't use, you're not using that time and energy in developing other parts of yourself, talents, hobbies, relationships with other people, with nature, with animals, and costs in terms of personal space often. And this shades into the hoarding population.
Sure.
You buy so much stuff that you can't use some of the areas of your home for the purpose they're intended for.
You know, it occurred to me as you were describing that, Dr. Benson, about the social aspect, and it occurred to me as, you know, that at the very least, the conventional, traditional shopping experience of getting together, maybe with women getting together with their friends, men maybe doing the same thing, going out and actually visiting a store, maybe they have lunch, maybe they grab a drink afterwards or whatever, at the very least that has that social connection. But the online shopping experience is very solo, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, very solitary, although there are chat rooms that buyers sometimes enter and talk about the goods, whatever it is that they're buying, like the train enthusiasts, and the Kachina doll group. And sometimes people get praised in comments. So there is a social aspect to it, too, for certain people that want that.
True. There's still, but I guess my thought was that you're right, and that isn't necessarily helpful. And the social part I was thinking about was some of the anonymity that comes from being on
yes.
that computer. And you can be, you know, I could be Daytona Beach guy, could be my
right.
my identity. And but it is very interesting. I'll ask you this, and I want to grab a break, and we'll come back and talk about some of the things we can do about this.
Sure.
Where, and this is a little bit of speculation, but I'm very curious, Dr. Benson, where is this all going? Where are we going with this? Because, you know, technology has had an incredibly profound and transformative impact on whatever it's touched, computers, phones, all finances, all of these things. And where do you see this going with the impact on shopping and then, of course, the consequence on shopping behavior?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if I knew, boy, it would be amazing. I'd like to say nowhere good.
Yeah.
However, there is a use of technology that can actually be really helpful with this. There are text messaging programs now for most addictions, and we're just about to launch one for shopping addiction.
Really?
Where people who have this problem sign up to get a certain number of texts a day. The texts are tailored to their particular over-shopping profiles, and they have the capacity to get immediate help if they have an urge or if they've already started to shop. They can get an audio of a recovering shopaholic helping to talk them off the emotional ledge, or me teaching them how to get unhooked in that moment.
That's brilliant.
That's one positive use of technology.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Dr. Benson. I applaud that. That's fantastic. ShopaholicNoMore.com is the website that Dr. Benson's referring to, where you can learn a lot more about these resources. The book, of course, is To Buy or Not to Buy, Why We Overshop and How to Stop. We'll do that quick break, and we'll come back and talk about some of the additional things we can do to deal with this. Stay right there.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialist, and certified annuity specialist. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and accurate service to our 300-plus clients. If you're looking for financial advice you can count on today and for many years to come, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Dr. April Benson is on the line, ladies and gentlemen, psychologist specializing in the treatment of compulsive buying disorders, and she is on the cutting edge. You heard her share before the break about the text messaging, great use of technology to help people with these challenges. And I would love for you to be able to speak, Dr. Benson, to some of the other resources that are available to help people with this problem. I know you've got the website shopaholicnomore.com and the book, To Buy or Not to Buy, Why We Overshop and How to Stop. But there's more. What are some other resources that we could steer our listeners to that maybe have a challenge with this
all
area?
All right. What I can first speak to is people's internal resources.
Good, good.
It's really important to identify what the triggers are. You know, what is sending you to the internet? Have you had a fight with your boss? Are you bored? Are you excited? It's important to identify what makes somebody want to shop and spend, and then to admit that it's an issue, to ask for and get help from loved ones, perhaps Debtors Anonymous, therapist, a coach. And some of the tips for overshoppers who use the internet, things like doing what you can to keep uninvited internet retailers from finding you.
That's true.
Upgrade your spam filter and block pop-ups. Change your browser settings to restrict cookies, which are those small coded files that keep track of the pages you visited. Unsubscribe from sites or lists that entice you to shop. Don't give your email address to internet vendors. Choose the highest privacy option from any vendor you do business with. Don't just get on the internet and start browsing. Shop for something specific, and before you do, decide on a reasonable amount of time for the process and set a timer. When it goes off, so do you. Remove all the shopping milieus from your favorite places, and don't bookmark temptations you happen across. You know, as with brick and mortar shopping, beware of getting on a roll. Internet marketers know that once you've made a purchase, your resistance to further buying drops sharp. That's why after you've bought the book you're looking for on Amazon, you see, wait, add $12.03 to your order to qualify for free Super Saver shipping.
My wife was ordering from Vitacost the other day, and she said, I just need 3 more dollars, and the shipping will be free.
Right.
I said,
right.
How much is the shipping? $7. I said, then let's just pay the $4.
Yeah.
And you know what I want to speak to, because it hit a nerve for me, or at least it really jumped out at me as you were describing these different things, Dr. Benson. And I think a real reason why, a significant reason why people shop, and this is just my own opinion, it is out of boredom, and looking for that stimulation, and just something as simple as that. People just want to do it.
Sure, and we can go even deeper. You know, the we all have authentic underlying needs for love and affection, for belonging, for self-esteem, for the esteem of other people, for autonomy. And if you can tease out what it is you're really shopping for, and it's not that 10th pair of black boots, then you can go about meeting the authentic need in a way that is going to enhance your life.
Well, that's what it boils down to, Dr. Benson, is people really understanding where they are. And I'm going to reiterate that you've got a lot of great resources on your website, shopaholicnomore.com. And it's not just resources for individuals, it's also resources for therapists. You do a lot of training of therapists and folks that want to help others in this area as well, correct?
Yes, I do. And this year we were very happy to be able to publish a study, a research study done on our particular model of helping compulsive buyers, and the results were extremely good. And there is a link to that study on the website, as well as many other resources, recovering shopaholics who have very good blogs and, you know, lots of good help, free help.
What are, well, and for those folks, because you hear them, what do they say after they have entered that recovery phase, kind of as a, you know, looking back? What do they say?
Well, I think that different people, of course, have different stories, but for some people, the buying followed a series of losses.
Okay.
And once they realized that and did some work toward working through the losses, they were able to shop in a much more mindful, normal way. For other people, it may have to do with it being the lesser evil, and they have recovered from an eating disorder.
I see.
Or alcohol problem.
Okay.
And the underlying psychological muscles that allow us to tolerate distress and regulate our emotions were only so strong, and not strong enough to fend off another obsessive or compulsive habit.
Excellent. Dr. April Benson, ladies and gentlemen, and April, thrilled and always a pleasure to speak with you, and we'll have you back.
Thanks so much, Dave.
You're welcome.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.